Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
We are. I'm going to be wrapping up our Breathing Room series, and hopefully this has been an encouraging time for you. And I find when you create space to think, to relax, to pray, to consider, it can get uncomfortable. Just because when you get that extra bit of space, it gets uncomfortable. As I was emphasizing with my speech there. Didn't mean to do that, it just happened. So, but it does get uncomfortable sometimes. Other people really love to have space. I remember actually talking to my sister-in-law years and years ago, who is Melissa, who was standing right here leading worship. And she is an outgoing personality, if you haven't discovered that. And I asked her, have you ever spent some time alone? She was just like, what do you mean? Like by yourself, enjoying some time by yourself, like just going out somewhere by yourself. She's like, why would I do that? So, but I know you practice now taking time. She loves time alone now. Kids will do that to you. So we are going to get moving along here. And, ultimately, though, Jesus, who is our greatest example and the one that we follow as Christians, when we look at the Bible, and I know it's been discussed before, but when we look at the Bible, it talks about him often. It says, often he withdrew to lonely places to pray. Often. So Jesus, who is God, that's kind of a mind warper, but still, He took time. He was like, whoa, life is happening at a pace that I know I need to get away and connect with the Father. So if he needs to do that in a time where he did not have any type of technology distractions that we have now, how much more would we need it, first of all, being human, second of all, being in an era and a time where there's just so much demand, where Breathing Room is just swallowed up like that by clicks and clicks and lots of other clicks. Okay. So today I'm going to be talking about the subject of our finances, actually. And I know, like, if you're visiting here or new for the and you're like, you know what all the church does is talk about finances, and then you showed up here and that's what I'm talking about? You're right, we talk about it every day. No, I'm just kidding. We do talk about it regularly, but it is actually between possessions and wealth, it's actually mentioned 2,300 times in the Bible. Other than the subject of God himself, your possessions and your wealth is the number two topic in the Bible. So it's probably important that we do discuss it. And I really do believe that today the goal is to create breathing room in your finances. Who would like some breathing room in their finances? I would like that. I would like some breathing room in my finances. And so I'm going to just take some time. I'll just do two things, really. First, I just want to set things up and talk about the seasons of life. Okay, so we can understand the seasons of life. And then secondly, I just want to talk, I'm going to give you a top 10. It's not in order or anything, but 10 ways that or 10 things the Bible talks about when it comes to creating breathing room in your finances. So maybe you can take one of them, maybe you can take all 10 of them, or something in between. So here we go. Seasons. Let's talk about seasons. Pastor Leon Fontaine, who unfortunately passed away not too long ago, he was a pioneer in Canada and an awesome leader. I don't know, I'm getting choked up about it, but he was amazing. Anyways, phenomenal guy, one of the most encouraging pastors that you would ever hear. So encouraging. But he didn't back down from a fight when it comes to the devil. The man was aggressive. And I still remember whatever he talked about, I seem to just remember so clearly. And I remember he was talking about seasons in life. And he talked about four different seasons in life. He said, I'll go through these, but I'll say them all right now. The first season was the season of survival. The second season after survival is the season of stability. You go from survival to stability, and then the season from stability to success. Ah, I like that word. But he added another thing after. I thought, well, success, you made it. No, he talked about significance. survival, stability, success, and significance. I don't need to take a long time in these subjects, but when it comes to our finances and our lives, we have to recognize that we cannot be in multiple seasons. You are in one season or another. If I said, guys, we are having a pool party after church at the outdoor pool, bring a picnic lunch, get ready for like just getting some skin changing happening with the sun. It's called suntanning, but I was thinking of also freezing, just actually freezing. But if I were to say that, I know I'm just ridiculous and I'm probably going to get off track a lot today. But if I were to say, guys, show up at the pool, we're going to be there, bring your kids, make sure they've got their swimming suits, make sure, you know, like bring a hat and a swimming suit. That's it. Hat and a swimming suit. He'd be like, guy, this is the wrong season for that. If you were to reverse it, though, and say it's, you know, 38 degrees out and it's just been sweltering, and I said, guys, make sure to show up at Madison's place. We're going to be flooding the rink today. We're going to set up all the boards. It's going to be incredible. The boards will be set up. Okay, we've got the plastic in there. We're going to pour the water in, and we are going to go skating. It's going to be amazing. When I say those things, that's ridiculous to think about, you know, doing those things, right? The same, you have to think the same way when it comes to the season of life you find yourself in. If you are in a survival mode, and of course everyone wants to have stability and wants to be successful and live a life of significance, everyone wants that. Or most do. I would say that you're probably mentally unstable, and I don't mean that in a wrong way. I think God actually designed us to live in a way that we have significance. So if you don't think that way, I believe God can reshape your mind. But ultimately, we want that. But if you are in a place of just stability, of just survival, and you're just trying to survive in life, living in a way that's highly successful and significant just doesn't work. You have to become stable before you can get to the next stage. And so hopefully you can understand these stages. And the purpose of me explaining these is not to discourage you, but actually maybe help you identify. Sometimes, like you could be in a place where it's like, yeah, I know, I'm just trying to survive. But in the back of your mind, you might actually be trying to live in a different season, even though you are in one season. So the invitation is to recognize the season that you're in. Be honest with yourself. If you have a family, be honest with your family and say, this is the season that we find ourselves in. And then just get to work. And by get to work, accept where you're at and say, God, how do you want to lead me forward in this? And so we're going to spend probably the most of our time talking through how, like, what are God's ways? So first of all, these are not my ideas. None of these are my ideas. These are God's ideas. And his ideas are far better than mine because I'm like a gambler by heart. I'm just being honest. Like, I'm like, let it all, like, ride. Let's go for it. I discovered that at Chuck E. Cheese's at a young, very young age. I'm just being honest. Can anyone relate? Those tickets, they just come out. Like, I don't know what Chuck E. Cheese is like now. I'm just talking like, I don't know. I'm 44 minus like when I was 8. So whatever that is. So you bowl the thing up there. It goes in the hole and then the tickets start coming out. This is unbelievable. I just want more tickets. I just want more of them. And so I go to my younger brother, who is extremely financially savvy and responsible. And I go to my brother, Sean. He actually lives in Germany. I said, Sean, is there a way for me? Because my parents gave us all a certain amount of money to spend. And I blew through it like nobody's business. Is there a way that I could trade you some chores or something for some more money that mom and dad gave you? So my brother said, if you do these things and this and this and this for a week, then I will give you this. Done. Pumping it in there and more tickets. I don't even know if I got anything. I just got tickets. I learned that at a young age. I have nothing to offer you is what I'm trying to tell you on my own. Absolutely nothing. Okay, before we get to the top 10, I do want to just give a few things, a few just statements, and a few other things. to understand about money. So here's a few things that you need to understand about money when it comes to your life and what the Bible is talking about. First of all, you can't take it with you. When you die, no matter how much you accumulate when it comes to money and possessions and land and everything, you can pass it on, but you can't take it with you. And that seems like an obvious thing, but it's good to actually say it out loud and say, oh yeah, I can't, like, because people who have a lot of money can solve a lot of problems fairly easily. Not all problems, but they can solve quite a few problems very easily. Oh, I'll just buy that then. Okay. And they just carry on. And is that good or bad? Neither. I'm just saying you can't buy your way and take anything with you when you go. Okay. So you're born with nothing, you leave with nothing. Number two, money is amoral. What is that? What does amoral mean? It is neither good nor bad. Money is actually something, and you've probably heard this said before, it takes on the characteristics that the hands of the hands that it finds itself in. So money is neither good nor bad. It just, if money is found in the hands of a drug dealer, they're going to probably do poor things with that money. If it's found in the hands of a faithful Christ follower who wants to honor God with all that they have and all that they do, it probably will begin to do good things. But obviously money can't, it doesn't have legs, it doesn't get up and like, I'm going to go do this now. These are silly things to say, but I just want you to understand that money takes on the characteristics of the hands that it finds itself in, okay? So it's going to take on all the money that you have is actually takes on your characteristic. It's handled by you, okay? So money is amoral. And then the third thing I'll say here before we get to our top 10 is this: there's a misconception that money is evil. In the Christian world especially, people say, well, money is evil. And that's actually not true whatsoever. In 1 Timothy, it's actually really clear, 6 verses 9 to 10, it says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So what it's saying, those who desire to be rich, it plunges people into a ruin and destruction. And then here's the verse, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So really, money itself is not evil. And creating it, having it, building it, growing, all of that is completely fine. It's the love. It's your heart condition. It's the love. If your soul desire is, I love money, I want money, and that's your number one. It says here in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. This is Jesus talking. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So ultimately, as we go through this top 10, I just want you to have these filters in place, okay? You can't take it with you. Money's going to take on the characteristics that are basically you as an individual. It will take on those characteristics. And the love of money is the root of all evil, but money itself is something necessary, and it's something that we're actually given to steward and take care of. So really, the ultimate goal as a Christian is not to be super wealthy, okay? That's not the goal. Wealth is fine, but the goal isn't to be super wealthy. The goal is obedience to God and to His Word. So as we follow God, we say, okay, God, my priority is You. Following and trusting You. As I go on this journey, if You give me much, then I will steward that. If You give me little, I will take care of that as well. But ultimately, God, my priority is You, and whatever comes in and out and through my life is up to You, and I will do my very best to honor You with it. So that's really the heart posture and the attitude that we should have as Christians, and that's what the Bible talks about when it comes to our possessions, our wealth. And we have to admit, we live in the country we live in, and we are affected by, you know, many different decisions, and we all feel things differently. But as a whole, we are extremely blessed as people compared to the whole world, and we have an abundance compared to the whole world. Does that mean we struggle? Don't struggle? No, we still struggle. We still, there's difficulty, but I just want us to understand that we still have an abundance in it when I'm talking about, finances. So, with the last, moments that we have here together, I want to talk about 10 things, and these, like I said, they're not in any particular order. These are things that you might want to take, like I said, just take one. If you're an individual, if you're a young person and you're just starting out, what an awesome opportunity for you right now. Every adult in this room would say amen to that. If you are starting out right now and you can learn to become financially responsible and God-honoring with all that you have, wow. Because we as adults, as the older you get, it's like, oh, I would have liked to have known that 20 years ago. Oh, I should have done that. Oh, boy. Okay. So if you're a young person, really tune into this. And if you feel like time is too far gone for you, it is not. It never is too far gone for you to start taking care of what God has given you. And so here we go. 10 things the Bible teaches us about creating breathing room in our finances. Okay? I'm assuming almost all of us are going to benefit from this. And so here we go. The first thing is prioritize God first in finances. Okay? Prioritize God first in finances. And the Bible talks about tithing and giving, which are two different things. Okay? In Proverbs 3, 9 to 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. So, we're talking mainly to an agricultural culture, but basically they're saying the first fruits is whatever your first harvest is, you give that. Okay, so whatever we get as from financial gain, whatever we receive, we give. The Bible talks about giving 10%, and I'm going to be doing more of an overview of these areas opposed to a deep dive into each one of them. You can take time. There's so much resource out there. So, but ultimately, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So what does that, and I'll have like a verse and kind of like an action step with each one as well, just so you can kind of see what that's like. And you may have to just go back and listen to this message again to catch everything. So the action step for giving and tithing and being generous is, first of all, when it comes to your tithe, you give to your local church, okay? That's the instruction. We give to, so if this is not your home church, give to your home church, okay? Give to your local church. And as we do that, then the church has the resource to do what God is calling the church to do in the region and the area. So you give to the church first, and then you trust God with the 90% that's left. You know what this does? It, right at the start, and I think this is really healthy, it reorientates your heart towards generosity and the dependence on God opposed to yourself. Because that makes no logical sense to be like, just give that 10% away. Like, I'd be like, mathematically, this doesn't seem to make sense. But God's kingdom functions differently than the world. All right, number two, avoid debt and live below your means. Seems like a really simple statement. I tried to find a stat yesterday of like in North America where the general family was at when it came to living beyond their means. I couldn't get an accurate number, but let's just say people are doing it. Okay? and it's difficult. I don't want to say, like, obviously in the last, like, our financial climate in the last 4 or 5 years has changed a lot. I was talking with somebody before church, and I still remember, like, as a young person and, into my teen years and even my early 20s, I thought, somebody who makes $100,000 in a year, like, you would be wanting for nothing. You can go wherever you want to go, do whatever you want to do, have whatever you want to have, almost. And, like, that was an unbelievable amount of money in my brain. And now, it is not the case. It still obviously is a lot of money, but the financial climate in our, it has changed. And so as things are changing, we need to continue to just reorientate ourselves with the Word of God and understand what it's saying. So we need to avoid debt and live below our means. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave to the lender." There's some other things I can say about that, but ultimately, it still is up to us to trust that God is going to provide. Is being in debt, like, sinful? I wouldn't say that it's sinful, but it's not the ideal that God calls us to. And so the goal is to get ourselves out of debt, if we are, and create margin and room to allow God to have space in that area. And so, I mean, there are endless amounts of things. There's Dave Ramsey. I won't go into them, but there's, if you need help in that, there's many areas that you can look. But ultimately, we want to budget wisely. If you don't budget, I know Pastor Mike, anytime you talk about financing, you're like, do you have a budget? That's the first question. And if anyone has come to the church asking for help, you know, we will help. But the next time they come for help, it's like, do you have a budget? If you do not have a budget. Okay. Number three, save and prepare for the future. Proverbs 21:20 says, "Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it all." So I would have been the foolish man running around buying all the stuff at Chuck E. Cheese, going crazy. Well, my brother stores it up. What a wise man that guy is. "Please, Sean, can I have some food?" Oh, boy. So, I've learned, though. Anyways, action. What's the action step with this? Well, we ultimately need to save money. Now, I understand, like, everyone is in a different place, but if you have the ability, like, a budget's going to tell you if you can save or not. And so if you have the ability to save, it is very, very, very wise to start saving. Have an emergency fund and so on and so forth. So, you know, these are, like I said, overviews, but they're things that the Bible talks about, okay? All these things give you breathing room. If you do them all, you're going to be like, wow, this is a spacious land that I have so much resource to do so much with. Number four, work diligently and ethically. Work diligently and ethically. Colossians 3:23. "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." Proverbs 10:4 says, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." So when it comes to, and this is for all, but if you are a young person, a student, start doing this in areas that don't give you any financial gain. Okay? When it comes to school, when it comes to what your parents ask you to do, parents, you can thank me later. When a parent asks you to do something, they're not doing you to just say, "I don't want to do this, I'm lazy." They're trying to train you to be a diligent worker. So when they say, "You know, you put your socks there again for the 99th time this week, can you maybe just move them from there into the bin right there? You can do it." And if you do a job, you're not just serving your parents, even though you are, you're serving God. And when you begin to develop that attitude inside of you of saying, "I'm working for the Lord," and especially when no one's watching, that's the best time to do it. Let me tell you, God will see that and He will reward that. He will reward that. And I'm not saying God's just going to pour a bunch of, like, this is not like a name it and claim it type of thing. You do this and God's just going to give you so much money. No, He's going to develop something inside of you so that you can actually care for it. There's people, we need wise people to lead communities, provinces, nations. Maybe God will call on you to do that. And so He's developing you. Number five, be content and avoid greed. 1 Timothy 6:6-10, this is a very large paraphrase, but ultimately it says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation." So ultimately, if you just say, oh, I want to be rich. Ooh, I want to be rich. And that is your sole desire. And that desire, the desire to be wealthy is not a bad desire. But if that desire to be wealthy goes above the desire to honor God and serve Him, that's where we have a problem, where Jesus is saying, you can't serve two masters. It doesn't work that way. So just be content. It's like, I'm content with what you have given me, Lord. Whether I have a lot or a little, I trust that you will lead my life generously because you are a generous God. So ultimately, we do need to be content with what we have, and we focus on the spiritual wealth over the material wealth that we have. I mean, we could preach probably a 52-week sermon on the generosity of God. God is so generous, and what He has given to us, we were filthy rags before Him, and He welcomed us in, made us righteous, and we didn't do any of it. All we do is just respond to the God of the universe by saying, yes, wow, that's unbelievable. Number six, practice generosity and helping the poor. So you can practice generosity without having a lot. You can practice generosity without having actually anything in your hand. You can be generous with your time. You can be generous with your words. Do you know that you have almost endless, I don't know how many words there are in the English language, but many. You have that many words to work with. Not all of them are good, so put those to the side. But you got a lot of good ones left over. And you can use those to build people up. You can be generous with your words. Have you heard it said before? Oh man, yeah, if I just had what that person had, I would be... Or I would do, that's a ridiculous statement. I'm just going to say it. You don't have it, and you're not in their circumstance. So the best thing that you can do, and the invitation that I have to you, is be a steward of what you do have. So if you have words, if you have time, if you have actions, sow that. Give that. And when you have excess finances, or you have finances in your hand, well, you've already developed a generous heart that loves to give, that loves to be generous. So what's going to happen? That money is just going to take on the characteristic of who you are. So develop that. You don't need money to develop generosity, okay? So there we go. Seek wise counsel on money. That's something I have to do. I have a great Christian investor who is kingdom-minded, who wants to see the church move forward, and is excellent at what he does. I am a fool. Again, I will reiterate. I will say this, but when my wife and I, we, for a year and a half, almost 2 years, we were overseeing we were overseeing our second location as City Life Church in West Edmonton Mall. And I would go into West Edmonton Mall, and I'm like, oh, I want that. Like, everywhere. I could, if someone gave me $1,000, I could spend it like that. 10 grand, spend it like that. You give me $100,000 at West Edmonton Mall, easy. No problem. I could just spend and spend. So if you find yourself, the reason I'm sharing this is there's other people like me. Other people are like, what are you doing? You are a blooming idiot. So am I well past my time already? I knew I would be today. That's okay. I've got 3 points left after this. But my point is, what I'm trying to say is, if you are that person, there still is hope for you, and get wise counsel. And if you are the smartest person in the world, still get wise counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in abundance of counselors, there is safety. Okay, three more, and then we'll be done. Hopefully these are helpful to you. Be a good steward, not a hoarder. Okay, be a good steward. What does that mean to steward? Ultimately, it means... And I'll use you again, kids. If you get the pair of shoes that you really wanted, because I'm sure the shoes are important to kids, right? Overall, yeah? Oh, yeah. If you got the shoes that you really wanted, Are you going to take them and like kick them off wherever? Are you going to wear those brand new shoes right in the mud? Most are not going to. No, you're not going to. Are you going to get the toothbrush out and like clean them just a little bit? Hey, that's a good thing if you do that. So the way, like, you, ultimately, we need to take care of the things that we have. And you are responsible for that. If it's in your care, you are responsible. So either do it yourself or pay somebody to do it for you. Okay? I'm not talking about all areas of your life. I'm just saying, anyways, I've got more points, and my daughter is playing the piano so beautifully. Stands above it all. Is that the one? It's a good song. I like that song. And I also have to say, probably the last five times I've preached, maybe even more, I've been so disciplined. I have been. I have not wandered off. But today is the day of freedom, guys. I get a free pass today. I'm just trying to make myself look like a fool while we talk about money. That's all I'm trying to do, really. Number 9, avoid get-rich-quick schemes. Okay, Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle. But whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Does it mean that somebody who's given a large inheritance or you just... I know people who have actually won the lottery. I've helped clients. I helped somebody who won the Stars lottery in out of Vancouver area. It's kind of cool. It's like, wow. All of a sudden, you have $2.3 million. That's kind of cool. Another client of mine actually won in Edmonton, $3.3 million. It's like, wow, that is so cool. But for basically all of us, that's not going to happen. And we've also seen the stats of people who win a lot. The majority of them, within 2-3 years, it's all gone, and they're in massive debt. So ultimately, and if something sounds too good to be true, 99% of the time, it just is. If you just take this $5,000, this $20,000, this $50,000, and just give it to me to invest it, let me tell you, I'm going to turn this around to $1 billion times a billion. Okay. So just act wisely. If you're unsure, this is how you have to treat unknown phone calls. If you're unsure, proceed with caution. Okay? All right, and the last one here. Trust God, not wealth. Okay, trust God, not wealth. Matthew 6, 31 to 33, it talks about a lot, but in there it says, seek first. Seek first. Seek first. We all know what first is. We know what first is. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Philippians 4:19 also says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So we either trust God or we don't. That's really what it comes down to. So we need to pray, God, would you give me financial wisdom? God, would you where there's a gap, you might do a budget and say, oh boy, we need an extra $200. It might be an extra $2,000. I don't know what that is. But let me say, no matter where you find yourself, hope is not lost. God is our provider, okay? And when we trust him, and this is not some, again, this is not some formula I'm talking about. When we trust him, he will care for us. But we also have to look back at these other 9 things that I talked about. If you're just like maxing out credit cards like it's going out of style and going crazy and like, ah, this is fine and we'll do this, that's not being a steward. Okay, that's called being a fool according to Proverbs. Okay, so we need to put this all together. But hopefully this has brought you encouragement, and because the goal is, no matter where you find yourself, that you can create breathing room in this area. And maybe you already have breathing room in there, but that doesn't mean, great, I can sit back. No, God's actually entrusted you with a lot. And so the goal at the very, very end of it all is that our hearts would remain soft before God. Our hearts would remain obedient to God's calling. And let me find, I'll finish with this. You know, there's all these instructions from Proverbs and other areas. But God is still God. And I've heard before where God challenges a person's heart and just says, you know what? Give it all away. Every last cent that you have, give it all away. And there's no security for the future, but just trust me. And I mean, I'm not going to go into different stories, but it's about the leadership of God in your life opposed to, is this smart? Is this not smart? It's like, we still use wisdom, but if God all of a sudden goes all in and just says, you need to just, whatever this is, or maybe you just bought something that's brand new and you're like, I'm so excited about this, and God says, why don't you just give it to this person or this family? The leadership of the Holy Spirit trumps, you know, all the man-made wisdom that we could ever imagine, because we don't get to see the big picture. So that's the invitation as well. We just need to trust that God is God and that you are not, and that He is the one that's going to lead us through the seasons of life. And hopefully He can lead you through these different seasons and bring you to a place where you're living a life of significance, not only just in your finances, but with all that you do. So hopefully that encourages you and that blesses you. Maybe that there are a few things that you can take from this and move forward with. And so that is the end of that. So what I think we'll do now is, I don't know, I'll just lead us, and let me just pray. Actually, that's not the end of that. I will pray for every single person in this room, because God is entrusting every single person in this room with something. So why don't we just stand up before God, and you don't have to, but just as sometimes a simple way to just open your heart up is to physically just open your hands before you. There's nothing magical that happens when you open your hands before you, just so you know. It's just a posture that you say, okay, God, my heart is opening to you, and I'm just opening my hands as a representation of who of my life to you, God, and I'm just open to your leadership. And so obviously in a room this size, there are people in every single category that I talked about. And the cool thing is that God made us a body. And so, you know what? God might be dropping little ideas into your heart even right now about another person or families or something, or there could be a ministry that might be rising up in your heart right now. You might be in a place where it's like, oh my goodness, I have no idea how I'm going to actually make things work financially, and I am in a very difficult spot. And you need a miracle. And so let me just pray for every person here, and I'll just lead us through that right now. And so, Father God, we come to you. You are the one true God. God, we've been singing about you, God. We've been worshiping you. God, we've been acknowledging that it is you that is the Lord over all, God. You reign above absolutely everything. God, you are well aware of every single person's situation in this room and on the planet, God. And God, right now, I don't pretend to have it all together at all, but you do, God. And you gave us your word as well, which gives us wisdom and insight and leadership over our lives, God. And specifically when it comes to our finances, God. And God, our prayer today is a prayer of surrender again to you. A prayer of surrender of knowing that you are the one that provides, Lord. God, you give us the ability to create wealth, the Bible says, but ultimately you are the one that gives it. And so, Father, I pray over every single person in this room. God, where there is lack, God, I pray first and foremost a surrender. And then secondly, God, I pray for wisdom. I pray for provision. Lord, however you want to do it. You are the God of the miraculous, Lord. And God, we recognize the things that you bring into our hands isn't just meant for us, though you give us everything that we need and our family needs, God. God, you want to give us an abundance to be a blessing to others as well, God. So God, help us steward well. God, help us manage well. God, we want to be known as people that are deeply in love with you and radically generous towards those around us, Lord. So help us, God. Where there are needs, God, bring them to mind even right now, God. Connect people today, God, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, would you just work in people's lives right now? God, we know that you want to massage into us, God, your ways. And so we welcome that by outstretched hands to you, Father, and we just thank you. And as I continue to pray, I'm just going to lead us in one last prayer. And it's the ultimate prayer, and we lead people in this prayer every single week. It's the ultimate prayer of surrender. And it's the starting place. It's the starting place when it comes to giving up our lives and receiving the life of Christ. And God provided so generously, more extravagantly than we could ever imagine. And that's through sending His Son, Jesus, to this planet to live a perfect life, to die on the cross on behalf of all humanity for all sin. And then God raised Him up 3 days later. And now we can, by surrendering our lives to Christ, asking for forgiveness of sins, we can be raised to life with Him. And so I just want to encourage us. We are going to pray that prayer together right now. And it's such a powerful prayer. So I will lead us in that prayer right now. And if you want to join me in that prayer, I just invite you to just pray it out as alongside of the church as well. So let's just pray together. We say, Jesus, thank You for Your extravagant sacrifice for me. I worship You. And right now, I give my life to You. I recognize that I am a sinner and I have chosen my own way. But today, I also recognize that You are the Lord. I surrender to You. Would You forgive me of my sin and fill my life afresh and anew today? In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.